welcome everybody to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the Wednesday night Bible study and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus. As we get rolling out here tonight, first we're going to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you again for another day. In you we have another way, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord, right now that you would touch that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, Lord Jesus, knowing that your word said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing to do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, first of all, the family and friends who've lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask you, Lord Jesus, you to touch and comfort them as only you can through your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. And then for those dealing with COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then finally, Lord Jesus, for situations like George Floyd and many other wicked situations just like that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the news, on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us to love our neighbors as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, wanting to say to those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number one, join the conversation. You can ask your questions, give your comments, your prayer of praise, prayer requests, or any of those kind of things. We'd be glad to hear from you as we get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus on the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right, and we are off and rolling on another Wednesday night here at the Six Eyes Wednesday night Bible study and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus as we get rolling here again. And we already have our bus monitor with us tonight, Emily. So how are you doing tonight?
Well, you already know that one, Ken.
Are you trying to say I'm a know-it-all?
No, because I discussed it with you earlier, smart aleck.
And that's me.
Yeah, he's smart. You're smart, and I'm average-looking. And you're all smart people.
All I gotta say is, hope I don't fall asleep on the gospel bus tonight.
Now, we don't want to hear no snores. No, that ain't allowed.
Well, sorry if I do, because I took some medicine to try and help me feel better.
You do that, we'll get six after you.
Well, let's pray for her. She'll be all right, I think. She'll be fine.
Well, Ruth, if that's what we're going to do, why don't you just go ahead and do that right now?
All right. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, be with Emily that she feels better tonight and she can enjoy doing the program, and anybody else that needs prayer for healing and even people that have the COVID. There's some people I know have the COVID, Lord, and just be with them too. Thank you for what you're doing for me. I'm better, but I'm a little tired tonight, but I did take a nap, so I got no excuse for falling asleep. So I just want to praise and bless your name and be with us on the show that everybody gets blessed. Amen.
And no making a mess with them chips there, Ruth.
I'll try not to. If I have to, I got to sweep up after.
Otherwise, we'll make you scrub the gospel bus with a toothbrush.
Yeah, the train duty would probably work, too.
I think I better behave in case the founder of the radio station's out here somewhere. I don't want to get my honey in no hot water with the boss.
Yeah, he's probably around there somewhere, knowing him. He's such a good person. He'll be all right. He'll get it done.
Yeah, you don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah, I might get in trouble if I don't watch the messes, huh?
All right, so let's get time to boogie, and here we go, all right? So here we go.
Let's do it. Let's boogie.
Everybody's looking for that something, one thing that makes it all complete. You'll find it in the strangest places you never knew it could be. Some find it in the faces of their children. Some find it in the lover's eyes. Who can deny the joy it brings when you find that special thing? You're flying without wings. Some find it sharing every what it's like if it doesn't have meaning. We're just extras in a movie passing by. What is a man if he doesn't have purpose, with nothing real to show for all his time?
There's something about waiting we don't like. We naturally become impatient because we're living in a world where not only do we want it now, we can have it now. That's not the way it is with God. Do you value God's choice enough to wait? We'll be right back.
burdens he. Jesus is waiting. Give him your care. Come to him as you are. Mercy and grace you'll find. There's healing, healing for your soul. Come into his presence. Your salvation's here. The Lord is waiting today to fill your heart with love, joy, and peace. Won't you give him a try? There's healing
back in contact with you. Amen.
7 days a week of what you really want. The Six Eyes Radio Network.
Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
Hello?
Yeah, hey, Ruth. I don't know what's going on with me, but I'm so down. All I want to do is sleep and have no appetite. I feel like it's just better to sleep right now.
Sweetheart, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, Ruth, yeah, I wish you really knew what you could say or do, but I'm just disappointed. All I want to do is sleep, and it seems like anybody I talk to doesn't understand it.
I wish I did know what to do, sweetheart.
Well, sometimes friends don't know what to do. It's better to get the professionals to give you the help when you need it. And call the National Mental Health Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network. And now it is time for the Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we are going into Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Joel chapter 2, verse 28.
It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions.
All right, and one more time, Ruth.
It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions.
And that, once again, is our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Joel chapter 2, verse 28, Joel chapter 2, verse 28, which clearly tells us what happened in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit came down and baptized the men, enabling them to witness the gospel to the great crowd there in Acts, allowing them to tell them the gospel of Jesus Christ about his death, burial, resurrection for the sins of all lost mankind in Acts chapter 2, letting them know the Holy Spirit had came down for their benefit. We find that prophecy found in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, Joel chapter 2, verse 28, in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. Amen.
Issue hall open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved.
I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vestibula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations. So we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right. Let's do it. That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Hey, baby. I will be there. He'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen.
That's for sure, for sure. And as we continue to roll out here on the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, on the Six Eyes Wednesday Night Bible Study, we are having a great time. How about you? Especially if you've called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Just press that number one, join the conversation. You can give your prayer requests, prayer praises, and any of those good things, comments, whatever. And so how... You got any prayer requests there, Emily? Don't be shy, Em.
Huh?
I said, do you got any prayer requests?
Just the usual for first responders and guys in blue out there that go out there and they're painting out online every day. And for myself, and all the nursing home and rehabilitation workers, that they'd be able to stay safe while this pandemic's going on.
Okay.
And I should be praying because tomorrow at 11:15, I got an appointment that I ain't wanting to go to. Gotta give me grace to get off my fainting and go anyway.
All righty.
Have you seen Brother Six on the board, Ken?
Not tonight yet, so far. So Ruth might be trying to get away with stuff. What she thinks she's getting away with stuff tonight.
Yeah, because Boss Man ain't on board.
See, Ruth thinks she could get away with stuff since Six ain't on the bus, but you still got your job, don't you?
Yeah, for her. She'll be scrubbing the gospel bus with a toothbrush. And if she don't want to scrub it with the toothbrush, I just get the gospel police after. Right, Ken? Hey, Ken, you still there?
Bible prophecy, amen.
Tribulation.
I don't want to be here.
Lesson is entitled Satan's World. Satan, who in ages past was Lucifer in heaven, sinned and God cast him out of heaven. He came down to the earth and led astray the beings on the earth before Adam. God destroyed the bodies of those beings with a devastating flood of water. See the book, What It's All About, by this author. He then caused a tremendous earthquake which excavated deep valleys, which made rugged, precipitous mountains. Into those freshly made valleys, God placed much of the earth's water. God called these water basins seas, Genesis 1 and verse 10. It was at that time God caused the dry land to appear, Genesis 1, 9. Then God made the beautiful Garden of Eden, and in that garden placed Adam and Eve, who were made out of the dirt of Genesis 1, 1. Please read carefully Genesis 2, 7, and you'll see Adam and Eve were made out of existing soil or dirt that was created in Genesis 1, 1. Satan later appeared to Adam and Eve, caused them to sin, forcing God to put Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. God put a haunting curse on the ground and an irritable, painful curse on childbirth. Centuries later, we find this same Satan coming to Christ during his 40 days of temptation, testing or trial, depending on what you call it, and taking him up into a high mountain, as the scripture says, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Matthew 4, verses 8 and 9. Now, the much-discussed question comes into our minds, how and where did Satan get this glory? That is, the glory of the world and the kingdoms which he offered Christ. The writer of the third gospel gives a further account of Satan's glory and power, which is a little more explicit. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, shewed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Thou therefore wilt worship me, all shalt be thine. Luke 4, 5-7. You'll notice the devil did not offer Christ the earth. The earth is God's, as well as the heavens. Psalm 115:16. But rather Satan said, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Question comes into our minds, how did Satan acquire or gain possession of all this power and this splendor which he offered to give Christ if he would fall down and worship him, and which he later would bestow upon the Antichrist, because the Antichrist does worship Satan. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4, Revelation 13, 2, 5, and 7. The further course of this lesson, let's answer from Scripture. Christ came the first time as a little baby. When Christ comes to the earth the second time, he comes as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Revelation 5:5. Christ has three offices, prophet, priest, and king. Excuse me, a prophet is someone who comes from God to the people with a message. A priest is anybody who goes to God from the people with a sacrifice. A king is one who rules. Christ came from God. Christ went back to God. Christ is coming as King of Kings to rule the earth 1,000 years, as the Bible says. Now, as Scripture, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he that hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put unto him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 24 to 28. I don't know about you all. That sounds wonderful, that God will be all in all. In other words, Christ is coming as God's kingly dictator, as we're told in the scripture. In the days of these kings, that is the ten-horn confederation of whom the Antichrist will be the head, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, literal, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but shall break in pieces and consume all these other kingdoms. And it, Christ's kingdom, shall stand. Daniel 2:44. I know that makes me happy. That verse tells us that Jesus Christ is coming back the second time as God's kingly dictator. He's coming to earth at a time when there will be 10 nations in Europe under the control of the Antichrist. Revelation 17, verses 12-13 and verse 17. When Jesus Christ came the first time, he bought the earth. Christ possesses the title deed to this earth. Bible says, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. 1 Corinthians 10, 26. Another verse says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kingdom and tongue and people and nation. Revelation 5:9. We learn from these two portions of scripture that Christ, at his first coming, because of his sinless life, his death and resurrection, bought the earth and the inhabitants thereof, insofar they will unconditionally surrender themselves to Christ. That's why the Bible says, for ye are bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:20. True believer belongs to Christ, body, soul, and spirit. Now that's body, soul, and spirit is all of the three parts of each person. Satan knows this because he can quote the Bible forwards and backwards. Look at the scripture which Satan quoted to Christ when the Lord was in the wilderness. We must remember Satan wants to completely control this earth for his own kingdom. Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 14. Satan has made one attempt after another to annihilate Christ, to kill him, to slay him. He tried to have Christ murdered as a little babe. Christ was born in Bethlehem. He tried to have Christ commit suicide by jumping from the pinnacle of the temple. If Christ had jumped, he would have killed himself. Third attempt to kill Christ was made by the Pharisees, tried to stone him to death, but the Lord vanished from their sight. Fourth attempt was made by Satan, who through Judas sold Christ to be crucified on the cross. Of course, the word says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So Christ, having never sinned, could not die eternally. But he did die temporarily by voluntarily sending away his spirit. From his death, he arose in conquering majesty. In other words, the bands of physical death could not hold him. Praise God. Next will be the fifth attempt. This will be made during the War of Armageddon, at which time all the rulers of the earth will be gathered together with the representation of the armies of the world under the leadership and the power of Satan's dictator, the Antichrist. Satan's Antichrist is there to meet God's dictator, the Christ, the Son of the living God. This great end time decisive battle is spoken of in an Old Testament scripture in this manner. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourself. And come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be awakened, and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full, the fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near. Christ's second advent in the valley of decision, Joel 3, verses 9 through 14. For this disastrous battle of decision, worldwide preparation has to be made. During the extensive worldwide preparation for this battle, Satan, incidentally, will build up the material powers and the glories of his kingdom. Now, let me make this plain. When Satan was thrown out of heaven, he incessantly said, I'm going to make this world my kingdom. I want a throne. I want to be worshipped. I want to be like the Most High, God himself. But he knows that Christ is coming again. He knew he was coming as a babe the first time, so Satan must leave no stone unturned to kill Christ. He made 4 unsuccessful attempts on Christ's life. 5th attempt will be made during the War of Armageddon, the scripture says. And I saw the beast, of course that's the Antichrist, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him, Jesus Christ, that sat on the horse and against his army, Revelation 19:19. So that verse tells us the Antichrist with all the kings and rulers and armies of the world be gathered in the state of Israel to oppose the Lord Jesus Christ and the armies which come with him from heaven. Scripture for that is, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon it was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that he should smite the nations, he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Revelation 19:11 and verses 14 and 15 also. Christ is coming as God's kingly dictator, and he is to be openly opposed by the satanic dictator. Great worldwide preparations must be made so as to bring this about in a natural way. That is Satan's attempt to annihilate Christ by having all the armies of the world gathered there around the city of Jerusalem. Scripture for that is most exacting. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, so all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Zechariah 12:3. So we're told that eventually all the people of the earth, that is, the military-minded people, the fighting people, the men of war, gathered against the city of Jerusalem. How is Satan going to bring that about? All right, let me show you. Please bear in mind, Satan started it. This is how he has progressively developed his elaborate plan. God placed a man and woman in the beautiful Garden of Eden and told them to cultivate it. In other words, take care of the garden. They had 2 wants, food and drink. That's all. A river flowed through the garden and gave them all the water they needed. They all allowed to eat the fruit of all the trees in the garden except one tree. They were asked not to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Satan, in the disguise of the serpent, came into the garden, tempted them, and they ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Immediately they discovered themselves naked and at once commenced to use their newly acquired knowledge by sewing together fig leaves for their clothing to cover their nakedness. This brought about the first invention, the sewing needle. For they ate of the fruit, they didn't have any need for clothing. They were innocent. Once they became smart, they began inventing. In order to sew, they had to have thread, and they had to have a needle, and the idea of clothing had to be invented, the shape, the style. And so we see them giving immediate evidence of this newly acquired knowledge. After they ate of the tree of knowledge, they had 3 wants, food, drink, and clothing. Before, they only had 2. As part of their punishment, God put them out of the garden. A curse was put on childbirth for the woman, and for the man, a curse on the ground. A curse on the ground permitted food to be raised, but the maximum of hard labor. God could have cursed it so extensively it wouldn't have raised a disturbance. We know he cursed it for Cain later on, and Cain couldn't grow anything. When Cain murdered Abel, the ground was cursed, and Cain couldn't raise even one turnip. So he became a vagabond, a hobo, a wanderer around the earth. The first curse meant that naturally Adam and Eve were going to perspire. Eve would perspire with pain in childbirth. Adam would perspire because of the hard labor in producing food. Let's remember, they got this increased knowledge by eating the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden. It was their fault they sinned. We must also remember that human nature works along the lines of least resistance, and necessity is the mother of inventions. That is, we could expect inventions to take place, because to overcome pain, they had to invent or come up with a substitute for labor. Someone else has said, only mules and fools work. As a conceivable incentive to lure man on so that he would never be satisfied, find man discovering gold. This must have happened right after Adam and Eve came out of the Garden of Eden. The Bible says, for the love of money, or gold, is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy 6:10, not gold, but the love of it. So we find the love of money or gold entering into the heart of man. When he gets 10, he wants 100. When he gets 100, he wants a million. What's he going to do with all of that money? Look around the world today and note the millionaires. They're not satisfied. They're all trying to get more and more. Listen to the evening stock market report on radio and TV. It's actually the battle of the millionaires. You don't see animals hoarding, do you? You've never seen a cow hoarding hay? Someone says, well, don't the squirrels hoard nuts? Yes, but don't you also know that the way God has of planting new trees, for every three nuts which the squirrel hoards, he possibly only finds one. He forgets where he put the other two. From these buried nuts come the trees in the forest. You don't see a squirrel hoarding more nuts than 10 squirrels and 10 lives could chew or eat. You don't see the sparrows hoarding seeds in the harvest season, do you? No. Where is the great fortune laid up by King Solomon? It's gone. What good has the vast fortunes down the rows, a house of Rothschild? None. The Warbugs and the Belmonts all die just the same as you die and will eventually leave everything. Where did Mr. Morgan come to his earthly end? He died in a small cottage worth about $2,500 on a little island off the coast of Florida. He departed this life. He practically forgotten already. None of you don't know who I'm talking about. He's remembered, no doubt, by some of the stockholders of some of his organizations. But other than that, he's nobody. Yet he possessed millions. James says in his epistle, go to now, you rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries come upon you. James 5:1. We're spiritual beings. You can't feed and satisfy spiritual beings with gold. You saw a man out in the desert putting sand in the sack. After you filled one, you filled another. And after you filled 20, you filled 100 and then 1,000 and then 10,000 sacks. And you went to the fellow and said, what are you doing? You replied, I'm putting sand in sacks. Well, what good will it do you? Aren't you going to die? He inquired, yes. Well, what are you going to do when you die? He replied, I'll leave it for my son. Yes, but what good will it do you? I want my son to have plenty of sand. You saw someone doing that, you would know that person was crazy. Well, there's no difference in sand or gold in a person who's dying. Tell a man he's dying and he has $10 million. What does he care about that? He's dying. He's going away. He's going to leave it. What he wants is physical life. He doesn't want money, gold, and sand, farms, houses, boats. He wants to live. Devil has encouraged people in multitudinous inventions. Invention started with the sons of a murderer by the name of Cain. After Cain murdered Abel, God put a curse on the ground for him. The ground wouldn't yield for Cain, as the Bible says, so he wandered about the land. Then he met his own sister, whom he married, because the Bible says, days of Adam, after he had forgotten Seth, were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. Genesis 5:4. Cain met one of Adam's daughters, or one of his own sisters. He didn't know her from any other woman, so he said, will you? He said, yes. To their union were born several children. Then Cain built a city. He called the name of the city after the name of one of his sons, Enoch. The ground didn't yield for them because of the curse. How are they going to get their butter and eggs? The idle mind becomes the devil's workshop. Someone has said, one of them invented a tent, and he took it out to the farmer to sit under when it was raining. When he was tending to his cattle, he offered to swap his tent for a certain amount of butter and eggs, possibly on the weekly schedule. Then his brother Jubal invented the harp and the organ, as the scripture says in Genesis 4, 20 and 21. Jubal hauled the harp and the organ out to the farmer and gave an organ concert, told him that his daughter wouldn't be considered finished and accomplished except she was able to play the harp and the organ. He proofly offered them some sheet music free and 52 sweet lessons for three hams down and one ham a month till the king thing was paid for. Laugh if you want to, but there's plenty of fundamental truth in what I'm saying. Next, a fellow by the name of Tubal Cain endeavored to figure how he was going to get his butter and eggs. So he made an inventor of all the instruments of brass and iron. So the scripture says, and Zillah, she also bare Tubal Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. Genesis 4:22. So we see the beginning of a flood of inventions. We see the love of gold is behind them. We see the sweat coming. We see the curse on the ground. We see cities. We see the curse upon childbirth. We see the working of Satan. One invention led to another, and trouble after trouble came upon mankind. All were supposed to be labor-saving devices, so the people were told. God told them they were going to earn their bread by the sweat of their face. That is, they were to earn their bread by hard labor, which would produce sweat. A good, honest day of work won't hurt anyone. You may be able to the next morning, but you won't. You'll get over that if you keep working. Devil said you don't need to sweat. It's only mules and fools that sweat. Then the devil gave the idea of high society and told some people that were better born than others. God says to everyone, you must be born again. God says all flesh is corrupt, whether they came over on the Mayflower or not. Everything connected with the flesh is enmity with God. The flesh is corrupt. You follow after the flesh and you'll wind up in hell. The men in the cities were vigorously acquiring gold. The only way the producer could get the gold was produce more than he required for his own use and then bring in his surplus and sell it to the man in the city, who in turn would give him processed gold in exchange. The man in the city acquired more gold by manipulating the stock markets. Man began to classify himself as being rich or poor, but there's no such thing, because when they both die, there's no rich, there's no poor. Either they're lost or saved. There's no such thing as a well-educated person or a poorly educated person. Everybody knows something the other fellow doesn't. You can do something better than anyone else. God gives each person a super talent. We are born with it. Everybody's smart. Some use their intelligence better than others. Listen to a banker talk to a carpenter, and that carpenter will get disgusted with the ignorance of that banker concerning carpentry. On the other hand, the banker will get disgusted with the carpenter because of his ignorance of high finance. Isn't that silly? They're both educated, and they're both ignorant. That's the trick of the devil. It started with Adam and Eve in the garden. Satan said, you'll not surely die if you eat of that tree. Satan knew he had to get Adam and Eve out of the garden if he wanted to use mankind for his sinister purpose. He knew they would have to acquire knowledge, so he succeeded in tempting them to eat of the fruit, free of knowledge of good and evil. He got them out of the garden with newfound knowledge, all in order to prepare for the great war of Armageddon to make his fifth attempt to annihilate Christ, to gain control of the world for his own possession, his own dominion, and his own kingdom. We read in one of John's epistles, and the whole world lieth in wickedness, 1 John 5:19. In other words, the one Satan pretty well has this world under his mysterious control, and we see that the integrated societies of this world are presently heading toward a one-world government to be overseen by a one-world ruler, the Antichrist. This is Satan's world, but it's God's earth. Will become our property in the new earth, but until that time, it's Satan's world. And the next lesson will be the Antichrist.
This is Lynn Tolliver. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
All right. And Ruth, who do we got with us?
Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We got a crowd in here. We can't see them. We got you, Jim, and me.
All right. So obviously we don't have anybody that's wanting to ask questions. So what we're going to do, we'll let you give us a closing prayer for this day that's been a real pain with Blog Talk. So, all right, Ruthie.
Well, Lord, we thank you for helping us get through this, and you still got glorified and still got to finish it. So they'll have to get right with God, or they'll have to get it fixed. We just want to praise and bless your name and thank you for all you do. We want to serve you always. We love you. Amen.
Amen. All right, and we'll catch everybody tomorrow night as we get ready to complete our series we've been doing on the Ashtabula Horror, the Ashtabula Bridge Disaster of 1876. And we'll catch you tomorrow at 9 p.m. Jumbo Braille Program. God bless.
God bless, everyone. We love you. Have a good sleep.